reading from one of my favorite books in the Bible this morning. I love James because he really cuts to the chase and he tells you pretty much the best way to live life. I'm going to be reading from James 4, 13 through 17. Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go to such and such a town and spend a year there, doing business and making money. Yet you do not even know what tomorrow will bring. What is your life? For you are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wishes, we will live and do this or that. As it is, you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil. Anyone then who knows the right thing to do and fails to do it commits sin. Life does tend to throw us a curve sometimes. We make all these different plans and we try to do certain things and sometimes it just doesn't work out. There's a story of a pastor who was out in front of the parish one day and he's painting his picket fence. This gentleman comes down the road and he's leading a horse. And to be cordial, the pastor turns around and says, where are you going with that horse? The man says, I'm going to town to sell it. Pastor says, well, you ought to be saying you're going to town to sell it if it be Lord's will. The man said, the Lord's will has nothing to do with it. I raised the horse to sell and I am going to sell it. The pastor said, I'm telling you, life is short. You ought to say if it be the Lord's will. The man said, Lord's will has nothing to do with it. I raised the horse to sell and I am going to go sell it. So he walks off and leads the horse with him towards town. About an hour and a half later, the pastor's still out there painting his picket fence. And here comes this man coming the other direction. No boots, no pants, bruised, scratched, trying to cover himself with his shirt tail. The pastor goes, what happened to you? Man goes, well, I stood here and talked to you so long I was late for my appointment. So I thought, well, I will cut through this cornfield. And as I was going through this cornfield, the man that owns the cornfield saw the horse, didn't see me, shot the horse. The horse fell over on me and kicked me. The only way I could get out from underneath it was to lose my breeches and my boots. The farmer finally saw me, started shooting at me, so I took off running, hit the barbed wire fence on the way out. Here I am. Pastor kind of looks at him, you know, in a caring way, and says, well, so where are you going now? The man says, well, I'm going home, if it's the Lord's will. It's funny how life throws us a curve like that sometime. We just desperately try to do those things that we plan to do, and maybe God has another plan for what we're doing. Or we try to take shortcuts and things just don't quite work out. And we wind up battered and bruised like that poor gentleman. James is trying to tell us in those verses I read that life is uncertain. It's short. Literally a vapor or a mist, as he puts it, compared to eternity. So we have to kind of be careful how we live our lives. There's a story of a gentleman named Lynn Ray Collins. And for 17 years, you'd be hard-pressed to get a word to come out of that man's mouth. But now, you can't hardly get a word in edgewise. He talks all the time. Give you a little bit of a background here. 17 years prior to this, he was in a real bad automobile accident. He was in a coma in the hospital for 11 weeks. The doctors would walk by and they'd say, well, any time now. But he lived. And the only thing he came out of that with was his neck was paralyzed, so he couldn't talk. But today, this 17 years later, he happens to accidentally fall through a plate glass window. Not sure how, but Because of the fall through the plate glass window, whatever it was that was wrong with his neck snapped, and now he's fine and he can talk all he wants to, and boy, he's going to make up for those 17 years. And he is so grateful to God that he healed him through that bizarre circumstance. He even gets up sometimes in the middle of the night and sings Amazing Grace. He's that thankful to God. God showed his will in a strange way. And God shows us his will in strange ways sometimes. This man's mother said, "You know, I just can't believe it. We thought we were going to lose him. And after that first accident, and now to have another accident to cure him, somebody out there must be looking out for us." You ever think that? Say that to yourself? Something happens to you, or you just barely miss getting into that accident, and you go, "Whew, somebody up there sure watching out for me today." It happens. God watches out for us like that. And we need to be sure and be thankful to God when those things happen. That is God's will for our life. I truly believe in the providence of God. God provides for us sometimes in some strange ways. Sometimes, as we've mentioned before, bad things happen to good people, but because of the bad thing that happens to that good person, great things come out of it. Marilyn and I were talking about that on the way to church this morning, and she brought up John Walsh. And poor little Adam Walsh, I feel so terrible, died the way he did, and it was devastating to his parents. But out of that tragic death, John Walsh has done some great things in society. He has started television programs that have helped catch fugitives. He has saved lives. He has done great things. And as terrible as that was, great things came from it. God provides for us sometimes in some strange ways. And sometimes things happen to us that we consider a coincidence. I do not believe in coincidences. I tell people I believe in God incidences. Things happen because of God. It didn't just happen because it was a coincidence. God causes things to happen sometimes. God interacts with us even though we may not think so. And he likes that interaction with us. Here's another really funny story. Back in 1676, the Swedish were battling the Danish. They were out in these warships fighting each other. This one particular Swedish warship turned too suddenly to attack a Danish vessel, capsized, and exploded. There was about 850 sailors on this ship. Most of them died. About 42 of them survived because they swam away from the boat before it exploded. But now here's the strange part of this story. There was a man on the deck of that boat when it flipped over and exploded. And this man was catapulted off that ship over two of the Danish ships and landed in the sail of another Swedish ship and was not hurt a bit. Survived. Can you imagine? There's 850 people on this ship. 42 of them survived because they swam away. And this guy, in some bizarre way, wound up on another Swedish ship. God was looking out for that man that day. And God looks out for us that way. He watches over us. During the World War II, during the Normandy invasion, the soldiers would drive their jeeps down these little rural roads. Of course, they didn't know where they were going. They didn't know where they turned or whatever. And they didn't want to turn their headlights on because they didn't want the Germans to see them coming. So God provided. Glowworms were kind of lined up along the edges of the road because it was glowworm mating season. Of course, what we'd call them lightning bugs, but in the story they were called glowworms. And because those lightning bugs were flashing their little lights along the edges of this road, these soldiers safely made it down this road, and the rest of the story is we beat Germany, beat Hitler. So you have to wonder, did God have his hand in that? Did he make those glowworms, those lightning bugs, line up along the edges of that road so those soldiers could safely get to their mission because he wanted to destroy a man who was hurting his people. Strange things like that happen. Strange things. We think about how we live our lives and we try to plan out our lives, and sometimes unpredictable things happen. It's kind of like, what would happen if a stock market crashed tomorrow? Would you lose your job? Would you go broke? Would you starve? It's happened before. What about you're driving down the road and some drunk driver pulls out in front of you or T-bones you and you become a statistic? It can happen. Things happen out of the blue that we cannot prepare for. Somebody might walk up to your door one of these days with one of those big cardboard checks and say, you just won the Publisher's Clearinghouse. I don't think it's ever going to happen to me, but, you know, we can always hope. But things happen out of the blue that people do not expect. Life is unpredictable. But the one thing that James is telling us is that God is in control. God created us. God watches out for us. He is in control. Now, there are some people who believe that God created the earth and everything around, and the laws of the earth and the physics and the science and all that, everything just happens the way it happens. I don't believe that. I believe things happen because God has a plan. There is a divine plan for the universe. And things happen the way they do because God interacts with us. We do things, hopefully, because we listen to Him and try to do the right thing. Just like James says in that last sentence, you know the right thing to do, you should do it. That's what God expects of us. And we can't try to outguess God, or we can't try to help Him along, because it doesn't usually work out. We've talked about that before here. There's a legend of an ancient tribe who struck a bargain with God. They didn't think God was doing a good enough job with their harvests, so they struck a bargain with Him. They said, okay, when we ask for rain, you send rain. When we ask for sunshine and warmth, you send us sunshine and warmth. God said, okay, it's a deal. So they went through that year. Every time they asked for rain, God allowed it to rain. And every time they asked for the bright sunshine and the warmth of the day, God provided it. And in the fall, they had the tallest corn that they'd ever grown, the thickest wheat that they'd ever grown. When they went out to harvest it, they discovered that that tall corn didn't have any ears on it. That thick wheat didn't have any wheat heads on it. So they went complaining to God. Now, wait a minute, God. We made this deal with you that you would let it rain when it's supposed to, when we wanted it to, and we would get the warm sunshine when we wanted it to. So what's going on here? You let us down. God looked at him and said, no, I didn't. I gave you exactly what you wanted. What you didn't realize is that without those harsh north winds blowing across those fields, there was no pollination, so there was no ears of corn, there were no wheat heads. You can't outguess God. You want to try to make a bargain with God and you tell Him how to work the weather? Or you tell Him how you want things to go, and it's probably not going to work out the way you hoped it would. You can't bargain with God like that. God knows what needs to happen. Just like the rain we've been getting recently. A lot of people, they growl and complain because, oh, it's raining again today. But if we didn't have that rain, all the seeds and stuff that the farmers have been planting, I noticed the little corn starting to come up. That stuff wouldn't grow. And if it didn't grow, we wouldn't have food. And if we didn't have food, we'd starve and not be here very long. So things happen the way they do because God knows when we need the rain. God knows when we need that north wind. God knows when we need the warm sunshine, and He knows how to grow food for us. The farmer plants the seed. God provides the yield. There was a gentleman at one of my churches, that was one of his favorite sayings. He was a farmer. He says, "All I do is provide the seed. God provides the yield." And you have to look at life that way. But on the other hand, you don't want to just plant the seed and say, "Okay, God, it's all yours," and sit back and wait for it to happen. You have to do those things that farmers do. Spray the weed killer, or plow through the, break up the soil, or whatever it is that farmers do. I'm not a farmer, obviously, so I don't know what it is they do. But you have to do those things. James is not telling us to sit idly by and let God do everything. James is telling us that we should do what we know is right, do the good work, and God will help you if it's God's will. We have to rely on those things. Let God take care of us. It's kind of like this sheep farmer who had two lambs. Well, one of them died. And the farmer said, "Well, I'd rather have one fat lamb than two skinny ones." Well, a little bit later, the other one died. And the farmer said, "Well, it's all for the best. Now the ewe won't be bothered with them." About a week after that, the ewe died, and still being philosophical and trusting in God, he said, "Well, it's all for the best, but I'll be darned if I can figure out why." And we're like that sometimes. Things happen to us in our lives that ultimately are for the best. We may not see it at the time. It may be a couple years from now, you might look back and say, "Ah, okay. God watches out for us and helps us with those things. The things that happen to us are for the good. God has our best interests at heart." And as I mentioned, God doesn't want us to just passively stand by and wait for things to happen. There's a man who's walking through the woods, and he come across this disabled fox. The fox couldn't move. It was kind of stuck where it was at. And it was seemingly doing pretty well health-wise other than that. He couldn't figure out how. If this fox can't move, how is he getting food and surviving? But then as he's watching, he noticed this tiger coming out across through there who had some food in its mouth, come over close by the fox, ate his fill, pushed the rest of it over to the fox to feed the fox. So the man thought, "That's good. I'll be just like the fox. I'll just sit here and wait for God to bring me food." And he liked to starve and figured out that wasn't going to work. We are to be more like the tiger than the fox. We are to be doers, not just hearers. We are to be risk takers, even if we sometimes get hurt taking the risk. It's what today's society calls the movers and the shakers. You notice those people. If they don't get out there and take a risk, they don't get anything. My dad used to say, "Nothing ventured, nothing gained." If you don't try, you'll never know. But pray about it, and hopefully you've got God's will on your side. It's about faith. It's about trust. It's about the hope for our future. Knowing God has our future interest at His heart. So James is telling us life is about doing and working and giving. Life is about interacting with God, not expecting God to do everything for us. God expects to work with us when we do things. Everything in life is about God's will. You may not see it sometimes, but everything in life is about God's will. And here's a quote that I'll bet 99% of you think comes out of the Bible. But it's a quote from Ben Franklin. God helps those who help themselves. It's not in the Bible, folks. Ben Franklin said it. Now, it's biblical from a philosophical standpoint. Yeah, God helps those who help themselves. But it's one of those quotes that people have attributed to the Bible that ain't in there. So we should surrender ourselves to God's guidance. We should take responsibility for our lives and making something of our lives. But in doing so, we must trust God. We must have faith and hope and know He is going to take care of us. One of my favorite quotes is, faith is not believing God can. Faith is believing, is knowing God will. Think about it. Faith is not believing He can. Faith is knowing He will. That's faith. That's surrendering it to God and saying, okay, God, I leave it up to You. Show me the way. And if you believe and have faith, He will show you the way. Elaine brought one of those little mustard seed things. I've got one. I guess I should have wore it this morning. Jesus tells us, if you have a faith of a mustard seed, and if you've ever seen one, it's tiny. But I think the reason He uses that is because He says that little tiny mustard seed grows into a huge tree. So if you've got a little bit of faith and you trust God that little bit, great things are going to happen in your life because you've trusted God and have faith that He's going to take care of it for you.